Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Sick House 2026. I don't know. I should be more sympathetic to my family. I really should. When I wake up and the first thing I hear is, I've got a sore throat that my wife got from my kid. And then I take my kid to school and I'm hearing in the back. And I said, you've had it for 4 days now. I thought it would have passed. In any event, we've been running him ragged. So he's got the little rundown. And then Rob's dealing with the Miami and his dad. And so Rob's in Miami now. And Josh, is anyone ill in your household?
No, everybody is healthy.
That's congratulations. So, that's yeah. That's wonderful. Yes.
Mike, yes. I mean, I'm a dad that would say that, you know, if you say a kid is run down, that's what kids do. Kids run. He's what, 9, 8 now? Let him run. Let him get worn out. And he's resilient. He's 12. Exactly what I said. And let him get worn out. It's not like he can't bounce back. It's us that get run down.
Yeah. Yeah. Lock yourself in that studio, though.
Exactly.
You don't want that.
Well, I mean, I think when you're talking about the head cold or flu or bronchitis or strep throat or whatever,
tuberculosis.
You know, I'm the only one that can really die if I get it, right? So you know, I just wish that I had the nurturing chip. Carla doesn't have it. I don't have it. We are like wounded rats. Hold on. We are like wounded animals that we will leave the other animal in the bush to die. That's the way it is. We move on with our world. I went in and she said, "Can you put Winslow in the crate?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And Stubby was in the wrong crate. Winslow didn't want to go in the Stubby crate because it's a smaller crate. Anyway, happy Tuesday. The good news is, at least where I live, in beautiful Southwest Florida, I think we're going to have a spectacular weather day today. I think it's going to be upper 70s today, which is great. Are you jealous, rest of America? Well, you goddamn well should be. yeah. You know, and it makes me forget almost all the issues down here, like the old people that are all here now, all of them. They are all here. They will be here, most of them. Most of them, it used to be Easter. That's when they would leave, and now they will be here. Most of them staying now until the end of May. That's their length of time before they go to their
Indiana.
Indiana or Michigan.
Will you entertain a question?
I will entertain, and welcome back, by the way. It's good to have you back on the show.
Oh, it was so nice to be flooded with the emails yesterday that said the show's better without me. So thank to all of them.
Now, see,
that's one guy.
And there you go, giving them oxygen.
Need attention.
There you go, giving them oxygen. That's it. I don't ignore.
I guess. It's stuck in my craw. That's all.
Nothing could be further from the effing truth. And you know who makes the call on that one? I do. And it's fantastic with you. And it's better with you than without you. You know?
Thank you. Remember that, Josh. Remember that.
No, well, I mean, I wouldn't want to do the whole month with Kid Rock, okay? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But my question is, Mike, I know that you are most affected by the seniors driving. Are there other retail businesses where they show up and they complicate your life?
The driving is the one. First of all, last night I am going to pick my son up at his pitching practice. This is baseball. It's everywhere. It's fine. I love it. He likes it. It's cool. It's a good thing to be identified with at his school. It's a very big deal at his school. So that's cool, too. So the fact that he's associated with it, whether he is on the middle school roster or he's on the next level roster, doesn't matter because he's going to get exposure to that program, which is a and Rob, can you move a little bit more to the middle? Just a little. There you go. It's just it's exposure to it, so it's good. Last night, going to pick him up for the woman who was literally on the corner of the street in dark clothing that I almost murdered with my vehicle. They're all here, and they're not smart, and they don't think, and they don't do it. But this, I wrote this down. This is a driving tell, and this can be anywhere in the country, about the elderly. If they're in front of you, they will go their comfort speed, mm-hmm. which can be anywhere from, and I am not exaggerating, 55 to 4 miles per hour. That's what they will go. If they are in front of you, the fastest they will ever travel, the fastest they will go is when they think you are trying to pass them.
Mm-hmm.
They can go from 10 miles an hour and floor it and be like that, because that's what the children of the greatest generation do. They compete. Everybody, me first. Me.
I was going to say, is it competition or control? They love control.
Whatever. I haven't found what generation I am, but I'm outside of that baby boomer range.
The Generation Joneses is what you were looking for yesterday.
Generation Jones. Thank you. Generation Jones.
Wasn't that a song by Cheech and Chong?
No, it was a song
Generation
by,
Jones.
No, it's me. So generation, can you look it up, Josh, and share with us what Generation Jones means? Because I think it's someone who is born between the late 50s and the early 1960s. We are not boomers, and then we are not the ones that come after.
Why are they changing the rules? You're clearly a boomer. The baby boom was the 20 years after World War II.
Well, they're changing the rules. And
it is a micro generation stuck between baby boomers and Gen X.
More basically, like a micro generation.
People born between 1954 and 1965.
Wow. Okay. And we are part of a change. There was major change, the upheaval of the 1960s. Well, I remember a lot of tension in the 60s. I remember a lot of assassinations in the 60s. It was horrible.
And that was just in your house.
I want to tell you.
And that was wild. Was it wild?
Wild. Wild stuff. Wild. Yes. What else, Josh? What else
It says that you are children of the Vietnam War, Watergate, gas 100%. Lines, and Saturday morning cartoons.
Absolutely.
But that you have adapted through rotary phones, answer machines, PCs, and smartphones.
Let's welcome Paul Price with a $10 super chat. Paul, welcome to the group.
Yay,
we appreciate
Paul.
That. Thank you very much for joining us. That was very kind of you. Vietnam for me was.
And thank God you got home safe.
No. As far as I was concerned, I was just old enough to think about the potential, if it lasted longer, of me having to go over there. That's mm-hmm. it. I remember it being in my early teens, something that could it be me? That because I would have been a teenager right around the 70s, the early 70s. And, you know, that wrapped up right around the early 70s as well.
Did you do what I did? Did you start researching what it would be like to get into the USO to serve your country?
Or you, miles to Canada.
You had no conflicts that you had to worry about. So.
Well, we had, there was things going on in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s with the bombs
no drafts.
No draft. But I mean, the talk was, if this escalates, what's going to happen to us college age kids? And I said, I could be the next Bob Hope.
Nodak 701 says, Generation Jones named by people who didn't want to be called boomers. That is a very, very good observation.
As a Joneser, and I was curious, I would have asked you this yesterday if I had been here. 62 years ago, one of the key moments in rock and roll history, the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, was 62 years ago yesterday. Do you remember that?
Yeah, down in my basement of my center chimney cape. I like to say that because people always speculate on what it was. It was a small Cape Cod house. That's what mm-hmm. in New England. And I remember the only memory, the real memory I have is my dad not necessarily being a huge fan.
I think a lot of people have that. Yeah,
that's what I remember. And it was but it was a big deal. And of course, the person who was into it the most would have been my sister. Yeah. So let's see. All right. So how many years ago are we talking about?
That's 1964, February 8th, 1964, 9th.
I was 5 years old. I was 5 years old. And I do remember it. And it was a big deal. My musical influence, number one in my life, was always my sister, because she was of the age where she got the 45s and she got the albums. And I can practically go through the artists that influenced my musical tastes early, because Kathy and I have always had very, very similar musical tastes. So I remember the albums were, there was Elton John, which was, that had Get Back Honky Cat on it, whatever that
was.
Was that
Honky Chateau?
It might
light brown cover?
Light brown cover.
I think that's what it is.
Donovan. They call it Mellow Yellow. Quite right. Loggins and Messina was part of this. Boy, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones.
Who did you like better, Loggins or Messina?
You know, I've watched videos of them recently, and I think that I like Messina.
Really?
I think I like Messina's chill attitude.
Well, I mean, if you look at Loggins, he's a blabbermouth. He talks and talks and talks.
He's a little more look at me.
Yeah. I mean, great musician, though. He's not touring ever again. And I regret not having seen him, because I really like a lot of his work. But Messina, maybe we'll catch him in concert, Mike.
I like to think that I'm going to try to see some people. By the way, kudos to our friend Fred Vigdor, who is still very, very involved in the music scene. And Fred, this is from about maybe, I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago. I don't know when the videos pop up on my feed all the time, but there's a video of Fred backing a band with Dave Weckl, who is, in my opinion, the best living drummer today. Mm-hmm. Just phenomenal. If you ever want to, if you ever want to get an example of Weckl, you want to watch the Stevie Wonder song that let's say, "People Keep On."
It's not "Living for the City." That's
He does "Living for the City." And why is that
Higher Stevie? Ground? Higher Ground. It was also covered by Red Hot.
You had trouble pulling it. I always have trouble. Why do we have trouble pulling that song?
Because Stevie has a billion records.
I don't think it's just that. But you can get Sir Duke. You can have "Isn't She Lovely." You can pull them one right after the other.
I think maybe also because the title is buried in the lyrics pretty deep.
It is.
Yeah, it's not the chorus.
Absolutely. But
when you talk,
hello to Fred. I love your music, Fred.
And
yes.
Talking music, here's something I don't know that I've ever asked you. We've talked albums before. Do you have any 45s or singles you remember growing up? Because people that are, the Beatles.
Beatles, up in Maine, Beatles, because I had two older cousins, female cousins, and my sister, who were all older than me, and they were listening all the time. Beach Boys, Beatles. I don't know who sang the song, "I Wanna Be Bobby's Girl." And there was
That's a one-hit wonder.
And there was a guy, Bobby McKernan, who was up in Maine, and they were joking about it because he was very popular. The McKernan brothers, one of them who would go on to be the governor of the state of Maine.
Marcy Blaine.
One hit wonder. Yeah. Girl groups. Yeah. But it's funny. People need to know that, like, when the Beatles came out with a record, their 45s usually would not appear on their albums. They would do them separately. So to buy a 45 when it came out was huge. And it was exciting.
"I Want to Hold Your Hand" was a 45.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so good. I mean, my mom tells me she would know the dates that certain records were coming out, and she'd go to Giant Music in Falls Church on the day they came out because she wanted to have it that day.
She still does that for Bad Bunny.
She does. She does.
The one, "I Hold Your Hand and I Let You
Tomorrow"? That's "All My Lovin'."
"All My Lovin'" was a 45.
Yes, and also, coincidentally, the first song they sang on Ed Sullivan, that 62 years ago. Great song.
So I remember those 45s, and I remember my favorite artist And this is when I was getting in touch with my, you know, my true proclivities, was Elton John.
Sure.
I thought Elton John was the bee's knees.
He didn't have a lot of missteps from the very beginning. He's still, his last album with Brandi Carlile is good. I mean, he's still good.
He's still good, but I saw him walking into, you know, into a limo recently. So enjoy him while you can. That's just, that's terrible.
That, he didn't make the Super Bowl this year, did he?
He did not. I don't believe. And I'm glad you brought up the Super Bowl again. Now, Josh and I were
talking a little.
Yeah, I know. I know you're going through it down there. And, you know, and Rob was telling us everything he's dealing with and how horrible it is. And then 10 minutes later, he's posting Shecky Green stuff online. It drives me out of my friggin' mind.
It is my own therapy.
Yeah.
That's what I have to do. I've got to do something.
Yeah.
And some of the jokes were okay.
So's the show. Anyway, but anyway, we miss you. See, I'm just busting your balls because I want to have you here.
I understand.
Yesterday was particularly a lot of lifting that I don't normally do. So I did miss you. But if you're just tuning in, Rob needs his therapy because he is dealing with his dad. And I'll allow him to, you know, pass that along when he needs to pass it along.
Well, I mean, if you guys want an update, is we have chosen in-home care. We chose a firm that we're going to use. And today, following the show, we will, in this condominium that is really set up like a game of Tetris, because if you move one thing, you have to move another. It's very small. We'll be taking delivery of a hospital bed for my father, and he will come home tomorrow. First time he has been to his condo since the week before Halloween. And hopefully the familiar surroundings and the comfort and the ability to be focused on and not just a statistic that they're waiting to, you know, pass off to another facility. Once that's gone, hopefully we can get him back in the proper mindset. I don't know that he'll ever walk again. And if that's the case, that's fine. I just want him to be mentally with it and happy because he's not right now. And it's tragic, really hard to look at.
I hope everything works out, and I kind
fingers crossed.
I kind of agree with what you both are doing down there too. And it's just the two of them, folks. If you just Rob does not come from a large family, and Kathy doesn't have a lot of relatives in the area down there.
No, I mean that's so, just them. It's the two of them. Yeah.
So Rob's it, and good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
You know, I'm glad that. Kathy's a wonderful person, and you're a wonderful person, and I wish you guys the very, very best down there. And I kind of agree with being in the familiar surroundings.
We talked to two doctors that we like very much, and they both are in favor of this. And one thing that's nice is that Josh offered, if necessary, to come and help. And Mike, I know that it's a little bit of a drive for you, but we'd love to have you.
Okay. All right. I'll
Mike,
be right
it's
over.
It's going to take three of us to move that couch. Okay. We're gonna need you.
Well, I'm closer than you are, and I
well, you, Josh, you could pick Mike up.
No, if you need furniture moved or you need anything done,
I think we're okay.
I am 2.5 hours away.
We did all that last night. You're very sweet. I was
what's that? Are you 2.5?
I'm 3.5.
Oh, you're 3.5. I thought you were a little further away. You know,
I told Rob we are both close enough to come down there.
Yes, 100%. I mean, well, I know you're doing shtick, and you laugh like it would be, you know, absolutely never happen. It would happen in I would drop everything to do that.
Yeah,
I know you
tell
would.
Tell us when to be there.
I appreciate it.
If you need the help, I would do that. You know,
I think we got it under control right now.
The new bed.
We'll say it again, Josh.
Well, Mike can come and test out the new bed.
Amen.
Before your dad
gets
there.
I have one that lifts up too. Which Carla never lets me use. Carla hates it, so I never get to use it.
Yeah, he's got. We're getting one with rails finally, and it's not against the law in your own home. And Mike, you're gonna love it. It's an extra long hospital bed.
Because he's a tall drink of water.
He's a tall fella. Yes.
So, you know, good luck with that, and keep us posted and let us know what's happening as it goes along. We've, you know, I've lived it. You know that, Rob. I've been there, and it's the circle of life. And look, there's just no way around the fact that it's frustrating and it sucks. But from everything you've dealt with these fine institutions down in the Miami area, I think the best care will be offered by
we actually chose the palliative care we chose, and keep in mind, palliative care is not mean you're giving up. It's basically just in-home care. And we chose a place called Catholic Hospice, and we went to check it out, and it looks just like the movie Conclave. And I believe that Bob's doctor is going to be John Lithgow. So we're very excited about that.
That's good. That's a, so he will have somebody helping her all the time? Is
every
that,
day someone will visit. If his condition worsens, they provide live-in care. Doctors are always on call. Okay. They handle transport. It honestly, when they presented it to us, it sounds too good to be true.
Okay, great. That's great.
It's an amazing thing. So we're very happy.
All right. You know, it's funny when you mentioned the concert at a halftime with Bad Bunny that I will tell you, you know, it's really was the main topic of discussion about the Super Bowl because the game was a meh game. So you heard more about that. I have found that perhaps white people are weird about Bad Bunny. Some white people are just a little awkward about the bad. I was discussing it with my favorite Hispanic family that all speak Spanish while Michael's getting his pitching coaching, and they were talking about how wonderful it was. And then I brought it up to some other people that kind of had a glazed look on their eyes when I was speaking to some white devils about it.
I was going
to
say, the glazed eyes were white people, right?
It was, yeah, a little odd. I don't know. I mean, I told the family from my family from Colombia, this wonderful group of people that welcomed me when Michael got into the travel baseball, that I didn't understand a word that made them laugh, and that I really loved the performance, you know, and it's the way I felt about it.
I loved really it, did. And I can only imagine if you go back different hunks of time in our country when different minorities or ethnic people's parts of people were not represented on television. I mean, before 1960, there were no black people on television.
Right.
And when they started to include them in shows, what a feeling of inclusiveness and how great it must be to show your kids, hey, look what's on TV. Well, when you go to the Super Bowl, the biggest event of the year, and the world is looking at Bad Bunny, for people that have a similar background to Bad Bunny, that's got to be the most rewarding, exciting, really tear-inducing event of the year.
I follow John Leguizamo online, and he had tears in his eyes as he was psyched. He said, this is one of the most emotional things I've seen on TV. And then there was another poster, a right-wing poster, who I came across my feed, and he was showing video of the crowd at the Super Bowl. And just it was staring. Just staring. And I think that's any performance at the Super Bowl.
This one was particularly tailored to television. I bet it was not all that impressive.
But this person was showing it like, look at this. Nobody even reacted to this.
When I went to the Super Bowl, the halftime show was Beyonce. And even though I'm Beyonce, I'm standing there staring.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't singing along.
Yeah, because the audio probably prevents that. You're getting a lot of, noise.
The audio is fine because it's all pre-recorded.
Right.
Yeah. But the video makes no sense. You're watching the Jumbotron because you can't see what's going on.
Did you enjoy the Beyonce show more after they explained to you who she was?
I like that joke.
I enjoyed it very much before the power went out.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I watched about, you know, you can watch seriously 10 hours of pregame. And I think I turned it on at 4 for a 6:30 kickoff.
I didn't watch 1 second of pregame. I'm so proud of that.
I mean, I wasn't focused, but I had it on. And my one thought is they kept showing clips of people going into the Super Bowl, and I just said, look at those miserable bastards.
Oh, we did a few of them, and it's
the worst. You know,
and by the way, yesterday was their happy day, I'm sure, at the at San Francisco International Airport. I'm sure that was a real happy place to be yesterday. But I think that one of the things that people bust Josh's balls all the time, and they bust my balls, and it's always a political thing from the left and from the right. But I've always found, and to a degree, I've always found that that Josh can be reasonable during our discussions,
yeah.
And I think I yield and I try to be reasonable with him. The person I saw that was not reasonable, who I would have gotten in a shouting match, was Megyn Kelly. Did you see Megyn Kelly on Piers Morgan's show?
I did not see that.
Megyn Kelly is such a bigot. Is such an effing bigot that she went out of her mind over Bad Bunny, over Bad Bunny. At one point, she goes, oh, I know it's the Latinos. And it was
wow,
hateful. Now, but do you remember it wasn't all that long ago where we all knew Megyn Kelly was right wing?
Sure.
But Megyn Kelly kind of was, kind of faked that she could be reasonable.
Moderate, leaning towards moderate.
She's lost it. She's full-fledged lost it. She really has.
Well, I don't know. I think that's where I get irritated with political talk on both sides, because okay. I don't know if she lost it or if she's playing it up because she knows that works for her ad dollars.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's interesting because that did cross my mind when I was watching her, because I'm like, she is now narrow casting more than she ever has.
Yes.
I think that's true. So maybe to an extent. But I mean, let me put it this way, Josh. I don't think it was much of a stretch for her to do what she was doing with Piers, because the hatred was just, I mean, stunning how she was yelling about it. It was really
interesting. Yeah, you have to wonder if she is playing it up or just sort of letting it all hang out. Maybe that's how she felt the whole time.
I don't know. And people, it's funny what we argue about. And that's I want the sweet spot where the point was made that when you have the alternative programming, the relevance of the artist comes into play. And you cannot argue with the relevance of this particular artist, Bad Bunny.
Correct.
Who, and by the way, I couldn't pick Bad Bunny out of a lineup before the Super Bowl. When I saw the Super Bowl, and this is what I've said about a million different performers I've seen on the Grammys and different things, I quite often will have no clue who the artist is, and then I'll look and I'll say, oh, I get it. I get the fame. I get the get the vibe. I get the vibe. And that's the way I felt about this particular situation.
Going into it, my most experience with Bad Bunny was on Saturday Night Live. I know he hosted once. I think he was musical guest twice.
Right.
And both times he blew the doors off the place.
Yeah.
I loved watching it. So I was excited about the show, and it did not disappoint.
Yeah. Right. And his other relevance was Happy Gilmore 2.
That's right. He wasn't that.
And now what did he do in Happy Gilmore 2?
He was Adam Sandler's caddy.
Oh,
he was great.
Okay, all right. Now I remember it. Now I remember it. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, I was going to say I did go back yesterday and watch the alternate halftime show with Kid Rock.
Oh, the Kid Rock program.
And it was fine. It was a good presentation for a church service. It wasn't right for a Super Bowl halftime show.
Okay,
he did a good story arc of moving from the Ba with the Ba guy to him real self and committing to Christ and a Jesus story.
This is Kid Rock that did this?
Yeah, Kid Rock.
I didn't know he committed himself to Christ.
And that was a...
great!
That presentation fit for Trinity Broadcasting or whatever. Yeah. That was fine. It would have never worked for Super Bowl.
Yeah, were there any pyrotechnics or lighting effects or dancers or anything like that?
There was minimal, yes. Mm-hmm. But there was. I think there were minimal people in the room.
It is so great that he is committed to Christ. What you got, Mike?
I've got
little baby Jesuses.
I've got little Jesuses. There we all have them.
You should send one of those to Kid Rock and his father, Adult Rock.
Adult Rock. No, the whole thing said that was Megyn Kelly, when she was really frothing at the mouth, was talking about, and of course Jay-Z, who handpicks the artist, Jay-Z and his Epstein friends. It's like, hold on, Megyn.
How many things are you combining?
You're invoking Epstein?
Mm-hmm.
Have you read a newspaper about Epstein? Who's the chief bottle cooker?
Bottle cooker.
Epstein? You're invoking
the chief
Epstein?
Bottle cooker.
Epstein? Who's numero uno on the list with Epstein? Come on now.
Yeah,
come
but on. He was good at the beginning, and he made great music.
But I just I don't understand how that frothing at the mouth could be, because it was you can yell about his politics that he's at the Grammys made a speech that was very left wing, but the performance itself was the performance itself. And, you know, I mean,
there is a group of Republicans now going after the FCC and wanting them to investigate it because the lyrics were inappropriate for TV, but because they were Spanish, nobody knew. So now that's the new path they're going down, which is interesting.
Well, yeah, and what's interesting is our knowledge of that is that the rule, the way I used to understand it in broadcasting, was that it wouldn't matter. If you say a cuss word in a foreign language, it's still a cuss word. Wasn't that the way it went, Rob?
Yeah,
wasn't that
that's
the way
true.
We're told? You know,
yeah,
that
that's
would
the
be.
Rule. And that's why they're pushing this, saying, hey, you guys didn't censor this.
I play a little fast and loose with it now that, you know, most of my listening is done in digital media. Merde, 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 merde.
Hey, Mike. Scheiße.
Scheiße.
But I never, Mike.
In Espanol, is caca?
I think so.
Caca.
Yeah. But, Mike, never diminish the notion that people will tire of listening to someone say something they've already thought. And mm-hmm. if you have some sort of crooked, wrong outlook on the halftime show, if Megyn Kelly gets in and talks to you about it, they'll eat it up because they're agreeing with you.
Everyone's decision on the halftime show was made before Sunday.
Oh, no. That's not true.
No,
I disagree.
You think people changed?
I didn't. I just looked in. I looked in to see. I guarantee, and that I could not disagree with you more, because, Josh, if I tuned in and it sucked, I would tell you it sucked. Mm-hmm. It didn't suck. And
It was a good TV program.
I expected it would suck because I didn't understand it. I didn't realize that the core, and they knew that. They knew that, the people that choreographed this, because it was a, how did somebody describe it? It was like a really great Broadway show. That's what it was like.
Bright,
dancing
bright colors
choreography.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. Lots of movement.
I loved when he fell into the living room, Mike. When he fell through the roof into the living room, I'd about fall out.
That's why I didn't need to know what the lyrics were. But you're saying to me, lyrics are, you know, what was he saying? Yeah. Like, you know, bang
I can't,
somebody?
I can't read them on this show.
Oh, really? Are they really bad?
I had them up this morning. Let me see if I can find them.
Okay.
Did it indicate anything to do with anyone's mother?
No, a lot of what he wanted to do with the women on stage, from what I can understand.
You know, pal, you can be going through it and you still bring it. Thank you very much,
Rob
Speedwagon.
Thank you, Mike.
And F you to anybody. Yes, my wife has just come into off camera.
Hey, here comes patient zero.
I'm sorry? What's that? Okay, there you go. Carla wanted her 2 cents for some reason. The lyrics can't be as bad as a pedophile. There you go.
Thank you.
Are we putting pedophiles on TV now?
I think that's...
I was watching the wrong channel.
That's a Kid Rock reference from a lyric to his song. Anyway, because he's got a song about young people.
Well, that's before he gave his life to
Christ. Which is why he addressed his life change
in the story. But getting back to the whole thing, I would have been... I don't know whether you've noticed this, longtime listeners might have, that I like to yell about hating things more than loving things.
It gets you riled up, Mike.
It's more of a natural state for me. It always
You and Megyn Kelly.
Oh, by the way, and I went, I kind of overdid it with a parent at baseball practice yesterday who was complaining about the game. And I was saying, and I don't, did I say this yesterday, Josh? I think the game... Yes, it was boring because of the scoring issue, but maybe the best defensive performance I've ever seen at a Super Bowl. And that to me kind of balanced out the other thing. The Seahawks were that good. That was that was special.
I was really hoping to see a kicker get the MVP.
Yeah, because there were a lot of kickers.
I was hoping for a shutout. I thought a shutout would be cool, an all-kicker game with a shutout. That's pretty evenly matched stuff.
You know, as much as I am not a Patriots fan, I was at least they gave their fans something. That's what it was. But defensively,
and Robert Kraft always gives something.
Didn't he look miserable?
Really bad.
With his oversized jacket.
And you know what? I loved it. I love seeing him miserable. He's a bad, bad man.
Well, did you see the video of him on stage with Cardi B?
No.
I'll have to find that.
Maybe did he try to tip her?
Tried to tip her. That's funny. I like that. I really do. Getting back to it. It'll be over now. We've moved through this news cycle. But it's still, the conversations have been a little odd with some people about it. The joy that the people, the family that I know so well, my friend Yuli and the Colombian group that I really get along mm-hmm. so well with, they were touched by it. And I think any group when they're represented, yeah.
I got a lot of calls. I appreciate everyone's checking in, but Rita Moreno is so happy.
She's still with us?
Yes. EGOT winner, Rita Moreno.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, we've got other things to do, so let's move on.
Love you, Rita.
Why is that awkward? It is. Hey, stake your claim and claim your steaks with Omaha Steaks. Stay satisfied, get energy, and fuel your routine with premium prepackaged protein delivered to your door from handcrafted USDA certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and more. They have unmatched varieties of high quality proteins that everyone loves. Right now, you can taste the difference and get an extra $35 off at omahasteaks.com with promo code Mike at checkout. I don't need to tell you how great Omaha Steaks are, but I will. They're my favorite because they do beef right. Unrivaled quality and variety with every bite. Forever, it seems like Omaha Steaks have been fantastic.
The template for good meat. They're the best.
That's great. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Every steak perfectly aged to maximize tenderness. And they're hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. Omaha Steaks has been America's original family-owned butcher since 1917. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code Mike. You don't have to say it that way, but that's the new code. It's a different one. Mm-hmm. Mike. New code, so pay attention. OMAHASteaks.com. In case you don't know how to spell Omaha, promo code Mike. Terms apply. See site for details. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. All right, this story, a lot of stuff we got to cover that's a little weird and a little different, sure. But this story still lives because the mother is still out there and we don't know. Oh. Savannah Guthrie has said her family believes that their abducted mother is still alive as she issued a new appeal to anyone with information. We believe our mom is still out there, she said in a video posted to her Instagram account. We need your help. As a reported ransom deadline for the safe return of her mother, Nancy, passed on Monday, officials said they still had not identified a suspect or a person of interest. The 84-year-old disappeared in the middle of the night from her home in Tucson, Arizona, and was last seen on January 31st. Authorities believe she was taken against her will. So it goes on. What's your thought on that? Do you think she's
I have to ask if you discussed this aspect yesterday, but I saw this conspiracy theory over the weekend, and I don't put a lot of weight in it, but it's always nice to weigh in all the possibilities, especially when this case still rings so peculiar to me. There's just something off about it.
Yeah, a lot of people have said there's something not right.
It doesn't seem right, but apparently, people are bringing up the fact that one of the first real hard-hitting Epstein revelation interviews about the files was done by Savannah Guthrie. And because of that, she has been sort of a target of that side politically, and maybe that has something to do with it.
It's interesting. I don't know if we'll ever get closure on this.
I don't think we will.
And, you know, when you hear cartel involvement in this type of situation, a lot of people go away and never come back in that situation. Who knows?
And a lot of times if there is a ransom issue and it gets brought out into the public, like to the police and on TMZ and all that stuff, I think the kidnappers who are ever the bad players in this, they panic because it got too big too fast. Well, I think what they were hoping was getting a check and returning her on Sunday. That's what they probably wanted to do.
Will we ever know? I don't know. It's a big question mark. Really is. Okay, under the headline, more fun, President Donald Trump threatened on Monday to block the opening of a new bridge connecting the U.S. and Canada, again lashing out at his country's northern neighbor, at this country's northern neighbor, over a range of economic issues. As the rift between Washington and Ottawa deepens, Trump said he would not allow the opening of the Gordie Howe International Bridge. That name itself, when you talk about one of the great Detroit Red Wings and Canadians, that, I mean, is there anything more bonding between Canada and the U.S. than Gordie Howe as a hockey fan?
Yeah, but he wants the Trump named, he wants the bridge named after him. It's so clear. That's what he wants.
I think he sees something named now because he's had so many different things named after him. Anyway, it's the Gordie Howe International Bridge. It is a 1.5-mile bridge connecting Detroit and Windsor, Ontario. In a post on Truth Social on Monday, major construction on the bridge is complete, and it's expected to open this year after a period of testing. Here's what he says. I will not allow this bridge to open until the United States is fully compensated for everything we have given them. And also, importantly, Canada treats the United States with the fairness and respect that we deserve. We will start negotiations immediately. Trump also claimed incorrectly that Canada owns both the Canada and United States side of the bridge and built it with virtually no U.S. content. I don't know what that means. The more than $4 billion bridge, named for the famous Canadian ice hockey player Gordie Howe, is being fully paid for, built, operated, and maintained by Ottawa, but will be jointly owned by the government of Canada and the state of Michigan, according to the 2012
agreement. Wait till he finds out about the Bad Bunny ferry.
That's bad. There's just a lot going on lately. I'm simply the messenger. That's what I'm doing. If your relationship isn't feeling too sturdy, maybe put your phone on Do Not Disturb today. It's known as Red Tuesday. We've talked about this in years past. It's the day of the year that you're most likely to get dumped. That is the claim, anyway. It's always the Tuesday before Valentine's Day. It's basically when people realize they haven't made plans and don't want to waste the money. So I don't know. She was in here just a second ago. You know, it could happen. It might not happen.
Now, you do stuff for Valentine's Day. Carrie and I traditionally do not do a thing for Valentine's Day. Josh, where are you and Kelly line up?
I never have, but have been told recently that I'm supposed to.
Ah.
By the person who will be the beneficiary of doing
the
something?
The past couple of years, I've had to.
That's nice. All women love chocolate boats.
I will do probably a new dish. But it's labor-intensive. It really is labor-intensive.
And, I will text.
That's good. Are you going to be down there for Valentine's Day, or will you be home?
Most certainly,
point?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you'll be down in Miami?
Yeah, and also probably Thanksgiving. So we'll see when I get home. I bought a one-way ticket, so we'll see.
Really? All right. I don't know. Do you think he's telling the truth? I don't know what he's
saying. No, the truth is I will be here for Valentine's Day, but also the truth is I did buy a one-way ticket because we're biting off so much right now, we don't know where we're going to be even tomorrow.
Make the move. Come on. Join us. It's beautiful day. You're going to experience today, Rob, when you go outside, you're going to experience the real deal.
Oh, Mike, yesterday too. I mean, I'll be honest.
Yesterday was a good day. Yesterday was beautiful. Yep.
I am not a Florida guy, but I've gotten to the point that when I leave the condo in the morning, I take a deep breath and I say, this feels so good. It just feels good.
Sell your place. Mm-hmm. Do it.
Isn't it nice to look up and see blue instead of gray?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. And the gray, I've told somebody that's what I hated about it.
We'll sell our house as soon as the ice melts next December.
Okay, very exciting. Timothée Chalamet is catching heat for a recent interview he did for a French radio station. Yes, it was all in French, so his quotes have been translated. In case you're wondering, Timothée is bilingual. He is a bilingual. And I love saying bilingual in the French accent. Here is the quote. This is, when will they ever figure this out, celebrities, especially movie stars and TV stars? I know it's not normal. This is his quote. I know it's not normal to talk about yourself like this, but I knew I had a pretty unique talent. And I know that I work, honestly, I work harder than almost everyone I know.
Good for you, Timothy. You're great.
I really have an athlete's mindset in how I work. And people can make fun of it. They can laugh, but I don't care. I'm the one doing it, and it works. People online are dragging him for his comments. Yeah. One person said, quote, he should meet more people.
Do you think he's ever had a real job?
He's an actor, you know.
Yeah.
Give that quote to Ricky Gervais and see what's happening.
Hey, like Timothée Chalamet.
There we go. Another person said, absolutely no self-reflection on their privilege or the literal army of much lower wage workers, cleaners, drivers, cooks, stylists, makeup artists, PR people, assistants, etc.
The cooks, if they worked harder, they could play Willy Wonka.
Well, they're talking about all the people that apparently prop him up. You're a movie star. Someone also brought up a gender double standard. Quote, I can't imagine any female celebrity talking about this without getting the most deranged backlash.
Yeah. When I look at Timothée Chalamet, I see a gender double standard.
Thank you, Rob, for sharing that. Tracy Scroggins, a really great football player, one of my favorites, former defensive end for the Detroit Lions. He died yesterday, and he was only 56 years old.
His family
issued a statement calling him a devoted father, cherished family member, and a loyal friend. They added, he was also a kind-hearted and generous man who cared deeply for his family and friends. Here's the kicker. The statement goes on to say, playing in the NFL gave Tracy the opportunity to pursue his lifelong dream and rise from poverty. However, unfortunately, the NFL was also ultimately the cause of his untimely demise. Tracy spent every moment of retirement courageously battling the devastating effects of CTE. His exact cause of death wasn't revealed. Scroggins played 10 seasons in the NFL, all with Detroit from 1992 to 2001. Those collisions, we've seen a lot of them this season. They'll get you. So that's just when you have somebody that passes that early, it usually indicates there's something going on.
NFL says coincidence. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
And speaking of the NFL and players passing, thanks for the lovely tribute they did for Sonny Jurgensen on the Super Bowl.
They didn't, did they?
Not a mention. No.
They had all the other quarterbacks come out, though, remember?
That would not have helped if Sonny had come out.
I'm a New York
Giants
fan.
Joe Montana looked close to death.
He did.
I am a Giants fan. I'm a huge fan. Enough with the Mannings.
Yes.
Enough with the Mannings. My God. There are other quarterbacks in the league. Please. I mean, do they ever say no to anything? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
Every commercial.
They said no to corrective plastic surgery on their forehead.
Mannings, yay. All right, finally today, a 47-year-old man in Florida, his name, William Heath. Oh, great bars. He got into an argument with some teenagers at a McDonald's on Saturday night. It's unclear what started it, but William was so mad that he heaved a Dr. Pepper at the teens and then dropped his pants and mooned them. Now listen, there's more. He didn't just flash them. He smacked his backside and rubbed his left butt cheek. Someone called police, and when they showed up, they arrested William and charged him with simple battery and two counts of lewd exhibition.
Yes.
He admitted to mooning the teens and said he did it because he felt upset and insulted. Mooning, by the way, if you're keeping track of the, I study these things. Mooning while rubbing one cheek in Florida and pressing the other one up against the glass. In Florida, that is referred to as a Tallahassee handshake. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's it. We have to move on.
Again, I found out this week Mooning was named after Neil Armstrong. Did you know that?
That's very exciting. Yes, uh-huh. That's one small cheek for man. I'm so excited to tell you about our sponsor, Avocado.
Avocado.
It's Avocado Green Mattress. Avocado's certified organic mattresses, pillows, and solid wood furniture are made without harmful chemicals with thoughtfully chosen materials designed to support healthier living and more restorative sleep. A great mattress is the key to great sleep, and the Avocado mattress can give you the best sleep of your life. Better sleep changes your mornings, your energy, and it can improve the quality of your entire day. Avocado's mattresses are built to last with durable, high-quality materials. Every product is thoughtfully made with the planet in mind so you can feel good about the comfort and quality that you bring into your home. Plus, easy financing options with a firm to make your purchase smooth as silk. And best of all, no regrets. Ever. Avocado sleep trials of up to 1 year ensure that you are getting the best mattress for you. Avocado, dream of better. And now they're having a great sale on mattresses. Go to avocadogreenmattresses.com/TMOS to get up to 15% off. That's avocadogreenmattress.com/TMOS for up to 15% off mattresses. avocadogreenmattress.com/TMOS. Now, I know you guys have a lot of different stuff for you. I want to talk about the California jock tax. But before we do that, something came across my feed. Don't know if it's old or new. It has in my brain somewhere. It's saying I've seen this before. It's happened before, but I don't think so. And this applies to you, Rob, because you love the Dr. Pepper and you love the sugary Dr. Pepper.
Yes.
This is a concoction that the guy does and he's questioning it the whole time. And then he does a full-fledged rave. So I think I may want to try this. It is Dr. Pepper mixed with hot cocoa mix. Have you heard of it? Have either one of you heard of
it? I have not.
Like cold, you then make it cold? Here's how
the way it works is you take the hot cocoa mix, you put it in a bowl, and you add whipping cream to it, and then you froth it up, as he described it. You froth
it like a Swiss Miss or just something as simple as that.
Exactly. And then you froth it up into a mixture. You take your Dr. Pepper, you pour it over ice, not a glass this big or a plastic cup this big, but maybe about half this size, and you fill it halfway with Dr. Pepper, and then you take your little slurry that you made, and you pour that in, and then you stir the whole thing up. And then you take a straw, and you go, all the way, I drink your milkshake. No, it looks like it might be interesting.
It's made with whipping cream, not whipped cream, right?
It's made with whipping cream, heavy cream.
Okay.
Okay. So it's kind of like a dirty soda.
What's a dirty soda?
They mix the Coke with like a half and half or a cream.
Yeah, I think so to a degree. But the guy with the hot cocoa mix.
Soda also involves touching your left butt cheek.
Yeah, well, that's the Tallahassee handshake. That's what
it's a Mormon thing since they can't have coffee.
Yeah, no coffee for Mormons. So anyway, maybe when you guys are ready, you let me know. I'll go out and get myself a six-pack of Dr. Pepper. And if I like it, I'll probably drink it through the weekend until I can raise my weight again.
I would love to see that. I also have something to try. Now, Josh had a rough weekend, and he broke the rule. He had it before all of us. But I have an unopened 12 of Cherry Coke.
I thought you were the one that had the rough weekend. Did you have a rough weekend too, Josh?
Yeah, it's been a difficult weekend, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Everything's good.
Let me explain something. These two on either side, they're really, really good friends, and they tell each other everything. I don't get all the information. There's a little bit of a wall that's there that I don't get to share.
No,
yes, go ahead.
It's just not to bring to the show.
Okay.
So I don't bring it to you.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I mean, I'm disciplined.
I'm sorry that I'm a blabbermouth now.
He blew it. Your buddy over there blew
it. Your best friend blew it. But cherry cola floats.
Yes, Sunday I decided to have a Coke, and there was only one in the house.
Okay, all right. Now I'm just curious. All right, I'll stop. Yeah. I just sometimes when I don't know stuff, when I found it out, you know,
I
care.
It's nothing special.
Okay.
Nothing fun.
Right.
Ongoing, perhaps.
Does it involve D-I-V-O-R-C-E?
Mike, I think you've gone too far now.
Thank you. All right. Anyways.
No, we talked about that last. That was from one of your news items.
Okay. All right. I'll ask you after the show. Anyhow, it sounds like it might be a good thing, and it sounds tasty. So when you guys are ready, you let me know.
Flavor profile works in my head. You know, Dr. Pepper is already made from 23 discrete flavors. So if you can add a 24th, let's do it.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Go. What about this California jock tax? What are we? I don't know anything about this, Josh.
Well, good, because I brought a video to show.
Okay, let's take it out. Right, here we go. We're going to look at
the Super Bowl. Right now. The winning team, each player gets $178,000. In other words, the Super Bowl isn't a part of their salary. And because the game was played in California, and California has a jock tax, and they look at duty days, so each team spent 7 days in the state of California. So those are 7 duty days, and they pierce your regular salary at 3.5%. So he has to pay, when you take in account he got the $178,000 plus his overall salary, he has to pay the state of California for spending 7 days there $249,000.
That's just so stupid.
I mean, yeah, but it ends up costing him $71,000 to go play in California. Now, if I'm the NFLPA, now you got to remember, it's probably even more than that because since he's in Seattle, he's playing against San Francisco 49ers. So that's another day he's there. And he's playing against the LA Rams. That's another day he's there. So he's probably had like 9 or 10 duty days, or maybe even more than that in the state of California. So if I'm the NFLPA, I'm like, hey, we're not playing any more Super Bowls in California. We're just not doing it.
You know, hold on a second.
Yes.
He doesn't mention what the salary is. If it's,
what do you mean?
He talks about the bonus of $178,000. But if the guy's getting paid $20 million a season.
Yes.
Right?
Not that
I think it might be a little heavy-handed, and I get the whole thing about taxing, but, you know, rich guy problem if you're taxed.
What he's saying is the way the NFL salaries are structured,
right,
you only get paid on weeks that you play regular games. So you don't have a salary for the Super Bowl. You have that bonus.
But I think that the money, which was over $200,000, right, that it cost to play in California, the Super Bowl in California, I think that is based on that amount that they take out of his salary. And I'd like to see what point, that is. You know?
And I guess his point is that if Seattle did not make the Super Bowl, that he would have been $72,000 richer.
Yeah, because the hit that he takes on his salary negates the bonus that he got for the Super Bowl.
That's BS. The hit on the salary is higher than the bonus.
Yeah, that's
BS. Anytime it costs more to work than not work is known as the Podville media strategy.
Yeah.
And it's really not fair.
That's a little diggy-wiggy right there.
Well, it's also the
and also, West are groups. You as surprised?
Oh, here we go,
no,
Scoob. That's what an over-liberal state will do. No, okay, I get it. Kill all the libs. Own the libs. Yes, sirree. Own the libs, for God's sake.
Are you
sake.
Surprised as I am, Mike, upon watching that video, how much Boomer Esiason looks like Alan Hale as the skipper on Gilligan's Island?
I get it. The one fact I would have liked Boomer Esiason to provide for us would be the overall salary he gets. My point being, and I think this is really the important part, he ain't going to hurt. He ain't going to hurt. Really.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, right? Is it going to be like him walking home and saying, honey, I've got, you're not. You're not going to
hurt. Do you think the NFL offers direct deposit?
Rob, do you understand? Million. Don't you feel that way, really, when you look at that and you...
Well, I mean, the very fact that he has his finger anywhere adjacent to a Super Bowl championship team, he's set for the rest of his life.
Precisely. Yes.
And I'm sorry that it cost him $71,000 out of his $40 billion to get that way.
And I don't think that, Scoob, with all due respect, I don't think you need to cry poor mouth for tens of millions of dollars earning fantastic athletes.
Well, yeah.
But
Boomer's point as an athlete is, hey, what's the NFLPA doing? Because they're supposed to be there representing their players, making sure their players are making the most money.
Right.
I'm not crying poor mouth, but yeah, their union should do something about it.
I think that's true. I think there's validity with that. But at the same time, I never get really upset when I hear about, oh, you know, they tax me so much on somebody that's, you know, going on a cruise or buying a Lamborghini.
Right.
You know who's a great union team is the Patriots, because I watched a lot of the game and they never crossed the line.
Hey, bada bing. That's like picket line joke.
That's a little bit.
Okay. So, well, anyway, we'll have to, we'll have to discuss it. No, we won't. We don't have to discuss
that. Boomer news tomorrow, Mike. Boomer's take.
You know what? I really, really, really want to talk about. If you are a Price is Right fan, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Rod Roddy information coming up. Rod Roddy, the former announcer, back in the day when old Bob Barker was with us and he was hosting the Price is Right, we used to have a lot of speculation when we found out that Rod Roddy bought material for his loud and colorful jackets in Bangkok, Thailand.
He traveled there to buy the fabric.
Absolutely. We're going to do that. But first, I want to say, it seems like lately everyone's trying to clean up their habits. Rob is the same way. And honestly, having one less drink has never felt easier for him. One less. For God's sakes, he eliminated all of them.
Exactly. I'm pure like the driven snow.
Instead of pouring a cocktail, Rob has been reaching for Soul's out-of-office drinks. Soul makes feeling good simple. They make delicious hemp-derived CBD and THC products with precise dosing, clean ingredients, and formulations designed for predictable feel-good effects. Soul is the alcohol alternative that puts you in control of your mood. And their best-selling out-of-office gummies deliver a customizable calming buzz from a 1.5 milligram microdose for a gentle lift to 15 milligrams for a deeper, more elevated experience. Josh is a gummy guy. Took about 9 before the show today. He knows that it's the easiest way to unwind without the grogginess or next day regret of alcohol. You wake up feeling rested, relaxed, and ready to go. Give yourself the gift of... Did you have a lot more gummies on the weekend, Josh? Just out of last weekend?
No.
Okay, just checking. Give yourself the gift of a healthier unwind at the end of your day. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off. It's all about Soul from Miami, St. Augustine, and Fort Myers. All cities with Soul.
Soul.
Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Thank you, Mike. As you know, Rod Roddy served as the announcer on The Price is Right from 1986 to 2003.
It's a new Corvette!
And I was hoping that if Bob had any thoughts to chime in while I read this article, it would be most welcome. I was laughing as I printed this out because it comes from People Magazine. Do you remember when People Magazine used to be like a real thing and now they're doing online articles about Rod Roddy? I'm not sure that Bob?
Hello, Robbie.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
I am floating over you, and I'm ready to have the first. Who is the first contestant of The Price is Right?
Now, would you say it's true, Bob, that Rod Roddy was no stranger to struggle?
I have a soft spot in my heart for that old queen.
Do you remember, Mike? I'm sorry, Bob, forgive me. Working in the radio business when Rod got in, when he was in his 20s, It was a very secure, underpaid position until you got into a reasonable market. So Rod Roddy was living hand to mouth. Did you ever see Rod Roddy live hand to mouth?
Well, first of all, because he was such a great announcer, he had a large mouth.
A large what?
A large mouth and very small hands.
Oh, like our president.
Rod Roddy would amuse the cast and crew by showing up early on the set and putting his entire fist inside of his mouth. It was a That's great a good, trick.
It's a good bit.
Unfortunately, the CBS censors never allowed that on the regular tapings of The Price is Right.
And that's how much it meant to you.
That's how much it meant to me and I. There was one time with Diane Parkinson. Go ahead. All right. Bob.
As you know, Bob, Rod did very well in radio, but he was also drinking quite a bit, and that became a challenge to him.
What is it about these radio personalities that drink all the time? What is the deal?
I don't know, but I do know that Rod Roddy's drinking led him to some run-ins with the police and also contributed to financial issues.
Rod Roddy had run-ins with the police?
Because of his drinking.
Really?
That's how much it meant to me.
I'm driving a new Corvette. Get your hands off of me.
I'm sorry.
I was in between Rod Roddy and Bob Barker, right?
That would be a hell of a creation. Rod Roddy had gone through bankruptcy because he was not careful with his money.
Poor Rod. Poor Rod.
To be fair, Rod said all of these things later would lead him in his quest to be the best person he could be. He had given up drinking, and he never did Price while he was unsober.
So he was sober the whole time taping the Price is Right?
Yes, and he also became very careful with his money because he didn't want to have to declare bankruptcy again. Bob, do you remember any instances of Rod Roddy being careful with his money?
I only know this. One time, I went out with the crew of The Price is Right, and we could never get Rod to pick up a check.
It's ever. The small hands. It's tiny.
I would always slide the check over to him, and then his tiny little bird-like hand would slide it right back. And I'm like, well, looks like Barker's on the hook again.
Now, Price is Right. He says Rod always felt that he was never completely satisfied with his life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sad,
yes,
isn't it?
Very dissatisfied. Yes,
and in 2001, when Rod was diagnosed with cancer, the moment shocked him and his loved ones because Rod had never taken a colonoscopy in his life.
No. Well, there's arguments that could be made. Arguments that could be made that he took one on a weekly basis.
But they said, friends say that he always made jokes about it, about colonoscopies. Like he made a joke of everything. He just didn't want to submit to the test.
Are you telling? I remember Rod came into my office and said, here's what they want to do, Bob.
Yes.
They want to take a tube, a black rubber tube.
Yes.
With a camera on the end of it. And look at my nether regions. I say nay, nay to you.
That's Did you just joke it off?
Yeah, he blew it off. Speaking of blow it off, there was one time where
Rod Roddy.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Rod Roddy learned of his cancer diagnosis after tripping
it. Dark, Rob. This is really dark now.
Well, this is important to know.
That's what Rob likes.
To understand.
He does like it. He likes it. He does. He really does.
Rod learned of his cancer diagnosis after tripping at a recording and injuring his wrist.
Really? So yeah. They like did work on him and discovered it?
Upon going to the hospital, they said, hey, Rod Roddy, you've got more going on.
Yes. Rod called me and said, I have wrist cancer. That's what happened, Rod Roddy.
Well, they took an x-ray of his wrist and it revealed that he was as anemic as anyone they ever saw. And he actually, this is the clapper on this, and Bob, I'm sure you remember it. Rod actually had cancer surgery on September 11th, 2001, because it was so desperate that even though the country was under attack, Rod went under the knife.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you visit him in the hospital, Bob?
Why are all the doctors leaving the room? It's Sunu Corvette.
So everybody remember, way, mind your money.
People that don't know Rod Roddy are not understanding what we're talking about here. Here's the thing. It was just we thought that perhaps his trips to Thailand were for a little more than fabric purchases.
Right.
That's
right.
All, Josh. That's all that it was. That's
and
all
you know what? You had him on the show, and he was delightful. He revealed about the Thailand stuff to us on the show.
And the luckiest man, in my opinion, on the face of the earth is Mr. Drew Carey, who got that cherry gig. And I mean, I think it used to be the land of DJs,
yep.
Right? And by the way, when we were at CBS Television City doing a radio show, a radio row, we got to sneak backstage and see all the props they used for The Price is Right. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
And they were great. All crappy. You want well, them to be shiny.
They were all made of plywood, like all the bells and the whistles yeah. and the plasticky
right,
things you
see. It's a fake set.
It's yeah. all superficial. And when yeah. I saw that, when I saw that the Plinko, the big wheel, what do they call it? What's the prize
the
wheel?
Showcase Showdown wheel.
The
yeah.
Showcase Showdown reel.
Well,
was made of plywood. I cried. I was sad. I really
there's
was.
There's one thing that they don't mention here, but as a living memorial, if you ever see them play dice game on The Price is Right, one of the dice is made out of Rod's wrist.
That is that little dice made of wrist bone. Yes, Josh.
I just assume his surgery was on September 11th, so he wouldn't have to take a day off work.
Probably.
No, show got canceled. Let's get yeah, it done.
That's right. He coordinated with the terrorists on that particular day so that he did not have to miss a taping of The Price is Right. That's exactly what he did.
That's yes. your hot breaking Rod Roddy news courtesy of People Magazine.
All right. I think that we're not going to get to this today, but at some point on the show, there were two food things I brought. It was the Dr. Pepper with the hot cocoa. And yes. then maybe later in the week, we can do our go-to cereals. And this, because we know, I got an email just the other day, said, Mike, how come you don't talk about breakfast cereal on the show more? And I said, I know you
it's
want
been
to
four
do
days.
This. It's been 4 days since we've talked about
Didn't
cereal.
You get that? It was a military address. He got it from General Mills. That was
you know
the
what?
Person who sent the email.
There is family size, and now there is giant size. I'm sure you two are aware of this now that you yeah. do the shopping at the box store. But
yes.
family size, I thought, hey, you can't possibly get enough of this gruel into a box dried. But then when I saw giant size, which is even bigger, I snapped it right up. And what a value
like
it is.
Giant family size for giant families.
We record in the morning. We could have breakfast together.
Sure.
Wouldn't that be? How about this? No. How about this?
Yes.
Is there a chance tomorrow that we could come to the show and before we get started, we each bring in you in Miami, you in St. Augustine,
right.
me here. We each bring in, don't reveal. We don't do the reveal until the show starts, our favorite breakfast cereal. Can we do that?
We can do that.
Is that
sure.
possible?
Yes.
Yeah, would that yes. make you happy?
Always.
Josh?
Yes, sounds good.
Now, Josh, you know that a bowl of Skittles with a Coke poured on it does not count as a breakfast
Doesn't
cereal.
Count. And we'll do the Dr. I'm Pepper doing... experiment later on. You got a lot of stuff. I don't want yeah. to...
Spoonful yeah. of Soul Gummies.
Let me ask this question. In the condo that's not yeah. your primary residence...
Right.
Are there breakfast cereals?
There will be tomorrow.
Okay, but there aren't now?
No, and there'll also be whole milk tomorrow, not that stupid whatever oatmeal stuff is.
Oh, fie, yes. fie on her for trying to be healthy, for God's sake.
I know. You know what? Everyone's got their crackpot ideas of how to be healthy.
Do you know what'll be on my cereal tomorrow? Almond milk.
Well, good for you.
All right, we got to take a break. We will come back with beautiful video, ladies and gentlemen, but first I want to tell you about Quince. Oh, man, this time of year, this is when you need your wardrobe to be at its best because of all the temperature changes and all the cold that you're dealing with. I'm all about Quince. They make it easy to look sharp, feel good, and find gifts that last. Mongolian cashmere sweaters. Does anything sound more exotic
than
that?
It's so great.
Oh, well, thank you for noticing. This is my Mongolian cashmere. They have Italian wool coats. Quince pieces are crafted from premium materials built to hold up without luxury markup. Quince makes the essentials every guy needs. Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. Italian wool coats, ladies and gentlemen. And they're phenomenal. And you'll love them, too. I know you will. They look and feel designer. Denim and chinos that fit just right. Plus down jackets, wool top coats, and leather styles that are built to last. Rod Roddy liked his leather pants.
Loved the leather pants and the socks that had sequins on them.
It's everything you actually want to wear, built to hold up season after season. I got a cashmere sweater perfect for the Florida winters because it's got the right weight, which is to say it looks amazing without being bulky or too hot. It looks so good. I love it. It sure came in handy with this weekend's cold snap. I should say this six-month cold snap that we're
having. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Get your wardrobe on point with Quince. Don't wait. Go to quince.com. Great socks. I always mention that. They're my favorite. It's quince.com/TMOS for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. Uh-oh. Gordie Howe Bridge. That's quince.com/TMOS. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/TMOS, everybody. Hello?
The soundboard just died.
It's Jerry Todd, and he's saying, hey, that's some beautiful video. Jerry Todd, and then W-A-V-A. You know, I like the fact that the new catchphrase for today's show was just created, and that is, uh-oh, Gordie Howe Bridge.
Uh-oh, Gordie Howe.
Okay, you know, 6'7 is still driving kids crazy. They love saying 6'7, but could this be the replacement for 6'7? Mike, Josh, have either of your kids requested or noted the song called Chicken Banana?
Not yet.
I saw it over the summer.
Okay, let's have Chicken Banana so you can know what to watch out for.
Banana, chicken, banana, chicken, banana, 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 chicken, banana, chicken, banana, chicken, banana, banana, banana.
Right, Josh, I have a question for you.
Am I overtired or is that funny?
If I show this to Michael, will Michael say, Dad, that's like 6 months ago? Will he say it's yesterday's news or is it still a thing?
Well, Rob says it's trending now.
It is trending now. They've got 170 million views or something. So it's happening, Daddy.
I love it. Can you roll it one more time? I really enjoy it. I really
banana,
like it.
Chicken, banana, chicken, banana, 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 chicken, banana, chicken.
That's enough. Now
you want to know what runs through my head every night when I lay down to bed? That's it.
Mm-hmm. Is that
chicken banana?
Is that scrambled eggs with bananas on top by any chance?
No, it's pizza.
It's pizza. Oh,
it's
sorry
pizza
about
with
that.
Pizza.
Okay, thank you, pizza. Mm-hmm.
Also, Mike, I think you will like this. You like sports, and now football's over, so you need to know what's happening. And there is an Australian sport called Run Nation. And it was a long video, but I watched enough of it to know what this game is about. It's two guys. One of them is holding what looks like a rugby ball, and they just run into each other as hard as they can. Let's look at a little bit of Run Nation. They just run into each other. And they love it. Crowd loves it.
That's a derivative of rugby. I mean, it's obviously what. Oh my goodness gracious! Look at it.
And you know, they say people that have given them grief because of the chances of concussion and everything.
Yeah.
The founders of Run Nation say we always have a doctor on hand.
That's good. They're doing that. That's it. Hey,
well,
you know
they're not
what?
They're not going for headshots.
No.
By the way, there is a drill in football. They're called Oklahomas.
Yeah.
And Oklahomas are where the kids just they line up on either side to cheer the kids, and then they run. A running back runs around back of the line, and a defensive player runs around the back of the other line, and then they meet in the middle. It's the same thing. It's got football equipment, but it's called that's a rugby version of an Oklahoma drill.
When I was in the theater department, we had an Oklahoma drill, but it involved singing "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning."
There There's a bright golden sun on the meadow.
I think we're all great parents. Let's close with this.
Okay.
Have you ever been so uninvolved with your kid that you turn your head long enough for him to climb into something he shouldn't be in? I've never done this, but let's take a look at what happened at this claw machine.
And here's an unbelievable scene out of this Webster girl. Groves. A little boy was ended up getting stuck inside a claw machine, and it was all caught on camera. It happened Saturday night at the Veta Sports Soccer Dome on East Avenue. Now, according to the two-year-old Cooper King's family, the little guy got himself into some trouble while they were watching his older brother play soccer.
Cooper!
Now, it only took 15 seconds before his mom, Megan, said she looked away and someone shouted, Cooper, and pointed to the claw
machine.
That's
awesome, Megan.
She said the two-year-old was stuck inside for about 20 minutes, but as you can see, he didn't seem phased. Webster Groves police and fire did show up, but eventually it was just a service tech who got him out with a key.
You're the parents.
You're scrolling through Facebook, looking at those reels, thinking, oh, one day that's going to be my child. And let alone that was our Cooper.
He's obviously well behaved.
And, you know, as much as, like, I was somewhat embarrassed, I was like, you know what?
Can you pause it a second,
he's safe. He's fine.
It's a shame that his grandfather, Doug Carlson, wasn't there.
I was going to say, have you ever seen anyone in your life as miserable as that husband?
How did he get in? Did he crawl over
the top? Crawled through the slot.
Through the slot. All right.
Yeah, that's, but when they said incredible. It only took 15 seconds for them to jump into action, we saw at least 60 seconds of B-roll of a kid in there playing with inflatable toys.
You know, it's funny when you mention crawl through the slot, because we had a game at American University.
Stop it, Mike. All that's right. Your beautiful video, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very
have
much,
have a everybody. Great day.
Hey, everybody. I'll find out exactly why Josh's weekend sucked right after this. Thank you all for listening. Do we have music? Do we have closing music here?
Yeah, there it is.
Thank you very much. Go to the store. We got lots of good stuff on there.
Do it.
And it should be really, really special. And we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. I'm the only one that might forget. So please, both of you, text me in the morning and remind me that I have to bring cereal.
Yeah, if you screw it up, Mike, you'll be a cereal killer.
Thank you for Rob and Josh. Mike O'Meara saying so long, everybody.
I love you all.
Nice beaver.
You can't keep getting away with it! You can't keep getting away with it!